This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm Corey Fleck, and I greatly appreciate you spending some time with us this weekend, whether it is on the radio or on our podcast or on our website, kereport.com. It's great to have the listeners that we do, and I also appreciate all the comments that come in on the economics show over the weekend. I learn a lot from all of our listeners and their comments, as well as all the emails I get from our listeners on a regular basis regarding companies, future guests, and topics to discuss. That being said, I have a great show lined up for you this weekend. The first hour focused more on the U.S. economy and some of the moves we saw in the markets this week, which there were some pretty extreme moves, at least at the beginning of the week. And in the second hour, going to be talking more about precious metals with Sean Broderick and a new newsletter that he is coming out with, and a couple company updates, one of which coming from Mariana Resources, focusing on their business combination with Sandstorm Gold. To kick off this show, first two segments, I am joined by our good friend Peter Buchvar, Chief Market Analyst for the Lindsay Group. You can also check out Peter's website at bookreport.com, and book is spelled like his last name, B-O-C-K. Peter breaks down pretty much all the economic data that comes out. I get an email from Peter every day, and it is well worth your read. I always read over what Peter has to say. Peter, let's start right off, and we are recording this before the Q1 GDP numbers come out on Friday, but from all projections, it seems like these numbers are going to be below 1%, maybe right around 0.5%. Let's talk about some of the factors that you are looking at that really show that this U.S. economy continues to be stuck in the mud in this slow growth environment.
Right, and it comes on the heels of GDP growth in 2016 at just 1.6%. And now we're seeing some signs that we're not going to necessarily see a pickup in the second quarter either. I mean, one of the pillars of strength in the recovery since 2008 was the auto sector. And now we're seeing that credit-sensitive group and sales actually rolling over. So you have peak auto sales, you have declining used car prices, which then impacts the pricing of new cars, which then impacts the residual value of leases, which then raises the cost of leases. At the same time, you have subprime delinquencies rising, and then you're going to have a whole slew of cars that are going to have more debt than the value of the cars. And it sounds like houses in the mid-2000s, even though it's a much smaller market, turned out at maybe $1.2 trillion, it's still going to have a moderating impact on growth. But at the same time, retail sales generally is soft. I mean, we may see a minus number in real personal spending on Friday. And we also have still very soft capital spending, where particularly in durable goods, we're seeing spending levels that were no different than we saw in 2006. Exports, I think, should start to pick up, so that'll be a good thing as overseas economies improve. But I still think overall, you're looking at a very sluggish U.S. economy. At the same time, the Fed is now raising interest rates, which then raises the cost of capital, which then has its own way of slowing growth, particularly in credit-sensitive areas such as autos. So I think that's why we're seeing this flattening of the U.S. yield curve. Stock market's all excited about Trump tax reform, but the bond market is certainly sending a much different message.
So, Peter, the commentary on auto sales rolling over, I think a lot of people were kind of seeing just how pumped up this sector got with cheap, almost free loans and pushing a lot of future sales into the present, which ends up hurting the sector in the longer term, and that seems to be what we are seeing this year and should actually continue throughout the year. But one thing that really sticks out to me is this continued retail sales remaining weak, capital spending still not growing. These are some of the fundamental drivers to a growing economy. And I think this type of hard data just further shows that businesses and consumers either A, don't have the money available to them, mostly in the consumer sector, but then for the businesses, they're not willing to borrow money and buy big capital goods. This continues to put a constraint on the economy.
Right. This is late cycle type behavior. We're in the, you know, ninth year of this expansion, and we've pulled forward a lot of economic activity. I mean, the whole point of lowering interest rates to zero was to try to convince individuals and businesses to act now. Well, at least in the auto sector, they certainly acted now and bought a lot of cars over the last bunch of years. So now there's sort of a hangover. There's not that pent-up demand that you usually get at the beginning and middle stage of an economic recovery. And the 9 years compares to the average of about 6 years. And then all of a sudden you have, at least for employers, it gets more difficult finding qualified employees because a lot of the qualified people already have jobs. The pool of labor is mostly more inexperienced people out of college. So that is typical at this stage of economic cycles. And now, of course, you have the Fed raising interest rates, and a rise in the cost of capital has its own impact, and obviously gets to the point where why did the Fed wait this long, and that's a whole another discussion. But that is going to be an issue that at least Trump is going to face. He's going to try to kickstart the economy with lower taxes, but the question is whether that will be enough to cause another spark in the economy, or we need to have some more slowing or even a recession before we benefit from those tax cuts.
And a further question is just when these tax cuts are going to come. Everything seems to be taking a little bit longer than Trump wanted people to believe that it would. And again, just a big question mark of when and maybe even if they are going to rear their head, these tax cuts. But Peter, doesn't this speak to the overall confidence numbers that we saw spike after Trump got into office? They're starting to pull back a little bit, still at very high levels. But this general change in the direction of these confidence numbers, is that worrisome to you?
Well, there's no question that everyone got very giddy after the election, and that was reflected in those numbers that you had mentioned, both on the consumer confidence side and also the business confidence side. But the actual reality of growth still remained pretty mediocre, and that really hasn't changed. In fact, now we're seeing the mediocre data continue and the ebullient confidence data coming back down to earth. And they'll meet somewhere in the middle. I mean, you'd think that maybe some of this confidence is going to lead to an improvement in the economy. We just haven't really seen it yet. I do expect the second quarter to be better than the first, but not necessarily the same snapback that we've seen in prior years. But part of this could be also due to businesses, at least, just waiting to see what gets passed in Washington. I think something will get passed, but it's a question of whether it's this year or next year. And if it's going to be next year, do you just wait until next year to make a capital spending decision, or do you front run it this year? And I think people are just uncertain about what's to come, even though they still expect at least great regulatory relief, which is most welcome. But I think that the tax issue is to what extent and the timing of it.
It really is, and that seems to be weighing on a lot of people's minds as well as businesses, and that's going to be a big driver for the economy, I believe, when it does come. But again, if it takes too long, then businesses will start to doubt it more and more, and that could put a damper more on this growth story that I know Trump would like to keep on promoting and that I actually would like to see for the U.S. economy. But until that actually happens, well, still kind of climbing this wall of worry, but that's what bull markets seem to do. And Peter, I'm going to have you back on next segment. We're going to talk about some of this inflation data that seems to be peaking, as well as what's been happening with commodity prices and equity prices, which continue their inverse correlation this week. So everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with Peter Bukvar.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with my conversation with Peter Buchvar. And Peter, as I mentioned at the tail end of last segment, let's talk about some of this inflation data, because that was a story that I was following very, very closely as we entered, well, this year and even last year. We started to see inflation pick up, and I think that really helped drive some of the commodities. But we seem to be seeing this inflation data peaking currently. How do you feel about this?
Well, certainly headline inflation, we're now getting close to, and possibly within by June, recycling out the sharp rises in inflation. The core rate still remains pretty sticky because of services inflation, which is still running at about 3.5%. But we got to keep our eye on rent, which has been a main driver of services inflation. And in certain markets, we're seeing some excess supply that's leading to some slower rent increases, particularly in New York and San Francisco. Healthcare inflation still remains pretty steady, which is obviously another large component of consumer spending. So I think the bottom line theme is you have this continued goods deflation, commodity volatility, and even within commodities, you know, energy is rolling over on a year-over-year basis, but it's still hanging around 50. Industrial metals and the industrial material index that I like to look at, the Journal of Commerce index, is still near its multi-year high. And then you have services inflation that still remains pretty sticky. So I think it's a back and forth. Either way, you're still going to be in this 1.5% to 2% range for a while. But the key, though, looking forward is that, let's just say Trump passes this this tax reform that increases economic activity. Well, getting back to what I was saying before about it getting more difficult finding qualified labor. And also in the Beige Book last week, every single one of the 12 districts talked about wage pressures growing. And I know we've been waiting for wages to increase, but now we have a setup for a sharper rise in wages, which in itself is going to be inflationary. So that's the next thing that I would be watching for, because when companies have to pay their employees more money, that means they either have to suck up the profit margin hit, or they are going to raise prices of their goods and services to offset that. So I think that's going to be the new narrative. And again, I know people have been expecting this for a while, but now it's really beginning to show up in some of the anecdotal evidence, and certainly will be clearly evident if Trump gets away with a dramatic cut in U.S. corporate tax rates.
So, Peter, could this all just be kind of a breather for inflation, letting everybody know that, you know what, inflation has picked up a little bit? It's now more or less moving sideways. You could even say consolidating this recent move and getting ready if kind of some news events and some maybe political actions take place all at once, be setting up for maybe a bigger spike than people are expecting?
Well, I don't want to say spike yet. I do think, though, that we're going to be discussing this for a while, that wage inflation on top of commodity inflation, which, again, has had a nice run, is calming down here. But I don't expect any real sharp decline in commodity prices. So, yeah, I do think this is going to become a bigger part of the discussion.
Now, how about equity prices? How does this play into your assessment? Because if commodity prices do manage to stabilize, does that mean some of the bullishness comes out of at least this recent move in equities?
Well, I'm of the belief that the only reason why equities have rallied since November is just optimism on with Trump and tax reform. So now we are actually getting into the details of what may pass. This will be a test of whether that satisfies what the market has priced in. I think that the equity market is also whistling past the graveyard in terms of the headwind that monetary policy is this year, with the Fed raising rates, possibly initiating quantitative tightening by year-end, the ECB cutting their monthly purchases by 25% as of the beginning of this month, and will likely do so again, I think, sometime this summer, on top of the Bank of England ending their QE, or at least their expansion of their balance sheet, and possibly BOJ doing the same. I'm positive on tax reform, but I think the market's looking past other risks in terms of growth and monetary policy, and not bringing this all together.
So this is an interesting concept. You think that the central banks around the world are going to follow through on what they've been talking about, the ECB continuing to taper, Bank of England considering, or, well, winding down their program, And even the Fed, they've chatted about this. I know you've called it quantitative tightening, where they might not reinvest all of their balance sheet when some of these investments come due. You do believe that this is going to build on itself, hey?
I mean, I think that we shouldn't forget what got us here and what got us to the multiples that we are currently at. And again, I'm sure every one of your listeners have heard this before, that we're priced probably the second or third most valued market of all time, that valuations don't matter until they do. And you can go years with it not mattering. But it begins to matter when central banks start pulling back in providing liquidity. And that's what we're getting. And I'm of the belief that that monetary headwind will more than offset any fiscal tailwind that we may get. And I know it's, I feel the optimism that people have and on tax reform and regulatory relief, and I get it, and I agree with it, but we can't take our eyes off the ball of what monetary policy did to expand multiples and create huge asset inflation. And now that they are stepping away from the accommodation, even though it's slow and even though it's slight, that is a trend now for the next couple of years. Draghi now has a green light with the French election probably likely going to Macron. Yellen has a green light in light of this tax reform to continue raising rates and starting the quantitative tightening by year end. Bank of England is dealing with very high inflation rates, so he has license to at least take back the rate cut he initiated after Brexit. So I think don't take your eye off that ball.
Hey, Peter, I fully agree. These central banks have been such a major player with their easy money policies and, quite frankly, just injecting this liquidity around the system, that liquidity has to fall somewhere. And with investors, big money houses, it continues to fall into the markets. But if we start to see some of this liquidity come off the table, and I think it would be huge if other central banks start to follow the Fed, that is a just massive change to the markets when you're taking out the main driver. I think it has to be considered the main driver. And all those people that say the Fed and the central banks don't play a big role in these markets, I don't think you can make that argument. I think that they have played a big role in these markets. And if they do change their policy all kind of in time with each other, that's a very, very different market from a simple supply and demand perspective that we have seen for a long time. But again, this is a slow developing story, and it's hard to trust the central banks to do everything that they say they're going to do, but it seems to be the mentality that they are all going down. Peter, it's always great chatting with you, and as I mentioned, it's always great reading your emails every morning. Thanks for your time. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition and chatting again with our good friend Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. You can check out his website at my401kpro.com or also the lionshared.pro.com. Both of those websites are worth your time, and consider signing up for those. Dana does take a lot of time out of his day to provide us with some of what he's seeing in the markets. And Dana, this week, especially early on in the week, some big moves in U.S. equities. But what I want to focus on is what we saw in the VIX. The VIX was somewhat elevated, but still trading down at some pretty low levels. But that breakdown that we saw on Monday and a bit of a follow through on Tuesday have brought the VIX down to levels that historically we've only seen a couple of times over the last 30 years. You have an interesting stat, though, regarding Monday and the VIX. Please share that with us.
Sure. Thanks, Corey. Well, we had obviously a ramp up in volatility hedging going into the election in France on Sunday. And based on the behavior of the markets, both here in the U.S. and in Europe, there was no justification for the spike in volatility indices, especially in the U.S. It was in the short-term 9-day volatility index, or the VXST, spiked up to a much more of an extreme than the VIX did, despite the relatively calm week we had last week in the markets. It was transparently all about the election in France. It wasn't about what was going on in the market at all. So it was all about event risk. And likewise, in Europe, the volatility index on the stocks Europe 50 index also spiked to an extreme heading into the French election. And what we saw when we didn't get chaos did not ensue following the elections. It went pretty much as scripted. So like we saw after similar spikes in volatility preceding Brexit and preceding the U.S. presidential election, once people figured out the world wasn't ending, everyone stampeded out of these volatility hedges. And the difference is this time the stock market headed straight up following this election, whereas the previous two events saw at least a short-term blip lower before turning up. This time was straight up, and we saw the short-term VIX in the U.S. and the VIX in Europe go straight down at an unprecedented rate on Monday. So we saw the largest drop, one-day drop in the nine-day VIX on Monday of, I believe it was 42% it dropped on Monday. And also in Europe, the European VIX dropped about 35% on Monday. So everyone stampeded out of those instruments as, again, chaos did not ensue.
So, Dana, considering that these drops are historic in many senses, what do you take away from this? What should investors be looking for in terms of future movement for the markets?
We did a study into what we've seen in these markets following similar types of drops. Obviously, we've never seen drops this big, but as far as the U.S. is concerned, similar large drops historically, for the most part, have led to pretty good returns going forward. It's been the returns have been much better if we've been at a higher level on the short-term VIX. At this point, we're, as you mentioned, we're at a low level, so that takes a little bit of the steam out of the bullish signal being generated here by that huge drop in the VIX. But so we might see, you know, some backing and filling based on history in the market before, you know, maybe a resumption higher, because things look pretty decent still in the equity market across the board. In Europe, we did a similar study on that drop in the European VIX, and the interesting thing is returns historically have been better when the VIX is low and drops as much as it did, rather than elevated and dropped. So whatever the reason, that's been the case in the European VIX. For example, we've seen about, I think, 9 occurrences historically similar to the circumstance we saw on Monday. And 3 months later, all 9 were positive by a median of 6%. So pretty decent returns going forward. So especially with the setup, the price action in the European indices, pretty decent, decent-looking prospects in the markets here and abroad.
So, Dana, I've been watching the VIX a lot recently because I think it's a great barometer for showing how complacent investors are getting and how much of this risk-on attitude they're willing to take on and essentially not be protected on the other side. And this week, especially earlier on, was a great example of that. The U.S. market's climbing to almost all-time highs, and you even pointed out to me the European markets. Those have also had a much better light shone on them from investors with, again, this risk-on attitude. What are some of the stats that you pulled up and that you're seeing for European markets?
It's no secret Europe's been a perpetual laggard for, you know, ever since the top in, like, 2007 for the most part. We had a spike higher, a breakout in 2015, where we saw about 6 months of outperformance in Europe. But other than that, it's basically been a laggard for the last 10 years. We're starting to see a little better prospects, as you mentioned, in the last few months. And it's really, interesting. It's across the board from, you know, the lowest of the so-called pigs in Portugal and Greece, whose markets have been pretty much plumbing their all-time lows for some time now. They've been perking up just in the last few weeks and look prime for big moves up, at least on a percentage basis. Then you have core markets like Germany that following the French election spiked up to a new all-time high just above its 2015 highs. You had France, the CAC 40, which was sitting right on its downtrend line since, I think, 2000, so a 17-year downtrend line, I think it was, in France, and that, you know, just flew right through that. Then you have indices across Northern Europe, which we've been tracking since they broke out in late 2014, early 2015, and those have held up very well, even as core Europe and Southern Europe have struggled for the most part over the last few years. You look at the markets in Scandinavia and across Northern Europe, most of those are at all-time highs and climbing. So for the first time, you know, in at least a couple years, and one of the few times in the last decade, prospects, at least in the intermediate term, look pretty bright in Europe.
So across the board, Dana, if we quickly just wrap this up with a quick little comment from you, it seems like globally investors are, again, favoring these risk assets, maybe due to the liquidity that remains in the system or for whatever reason. Do you see this being maybe a trend throughout summer?
Yeah, I don't see anything really to be too concerned about right now. We had a sell signal in our intermediate term model about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, and that looks like it's run its course with the low at the end of March and a retest 2 weeks ago, and looks like that's reversed and we're moving to the upside in the U.S. We have these moves in Europe, like I talked about. Then you have a lot of good action even in Asia with India breaking all-time highs. Some of the tigers, you have Indonesia breaking all-time highs, South Korea making almost all-time highs. So almost across the board or globally, we see the technical setup in international markets looks very good. And when the technical setup looks that good, it's hard to turn it on a dime and be too concerned in the immediate term.
All right, Dana. Always enjoyable chatting with you, and some interesting concepts regarding not just what's happening in the U.S., but also in Europe, too, with investors, again, almost blindly throwing money at these markets. It's scary, if you ask me, but continues to be a trend that we see.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You may own a knife, but if it's not an Indy hammered knife, it's not a knife. From the forge to the grinder to the sheath, each Indy hammered knife is handcrafted using God-given talent. The result is the sharpest edge a knife can have and a true work of art. See a variety of knives and the complete knife kit at ihknives.com. Indy hammered knives. Custom knives made in America.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition and the first hour that has been dedicated more to the U.S. equity markets and the U.S. economy. To wrap up this first hour, I have joining me Chris Martinson, a regular guest on the show. Check out Chris's website, peakprosperity.com. He is a wealth of valuable information on his articles that he posts pretty much on a daily basis. But Chris, what I want to talk to you about today on this weekend show is Trump's tax plan that was unveiled pretty much on his 100th day. A lot of the rumors and chatter around this tax plan is that he simply just wanted to get something out there. The details are thin and sketchy at best, and I know a lot of people are disappointed. As an initial comment, how do you feel about what Trump presented earlier this week?
Well, I'm going to give it an A-plus for brevity. It was less than 200 words. That's mighty concise for something as important as a major overhaul of the tax code and proposals therein. So, you know, pointedly, it is actually one of the more detailed blueprints Trump has presented to Congress on any matter. And so the point here, I guess, is about economic growth and job creation, America First, all that. But really, you know, what I know of it at this point is this really clearly is going to tilt the favor of the tax code if it passes, and we can talk about whether or not that's likely, really will tilt the favor to wealthier people and corporations, you know, lowering that top rate from 35 to 15% for corporations as well as for pass-through corporations. That's a pretty big deal, and the idea there is that all that freed up non-tax revenue will go towards job growth and creation of economic growth.
Chris, this lowering tax for corporations and, more importantly, for the wealthy, I know it's a very sensitive subject, and there's a lot of people out there that really get their backs up when they hear about these kind of ideas. But the whole idea almost leads to this trickle-down economics in the sense that the money will eventually flow down and benefit the larger population. How do you feel about this?
Well, we've tried that before. It doesn't really work. Here's what we know. Job growth and creation is mostly a function of new companies forming and of existing companies investing back in R&D. And they do that when they feel like they've got a really good opportunity to get a return on investment. Lowering the tax code will do some things. Mostly, I think it'll keep some more money at home. Corporations won't be tempted to offshore it and keep it overseas. But perversely, If they tighten up the loopholes, some companies are going to find 15% a much bigger tax hit than they have been paying up to date. You know, there's a number of years where GE was paying zero in income taxes all the way through.
Well, Chris, this is an interesting concept, I guess. And obviously, when you do try to adjust taxes, some people benefit, some people do not. But what do you think about the lack of any, I guess, comments on a border adjustment tax?
Yeah, there really isn't a lot to chew on here yet in any direction. So he's throwing the first pitch out, and he's basically said, hey, here's some groups I would like to reduce taxes on. And there were no offsets in there that I could detect. So to understand that if we're going to reduce here, we're going to raise there. It looked like kind of an across the board, we're going to cut it. And again, nothing on the border adjustment tax is really understood there either. Trump just came out and said that it looked like he's going to back down on his tearing up NAFTA and tossing that out. So the Mexican peso had a nice rally on that. So it feels like he's starting to get into the realities of all this and what it really means to, you know, try and undo something like a major trade agreement. And I think he's going to have the same learning about taxes. Listen, the tax code is really tricky to overhaul. Lots of competing interests. It's whatever, how many tens of thousands of pages long at this point. It's just riddled with loopholes and special interest pieces. So there's a lot of power and special interest money that's invested in keeping it as is. So I think this is going to be a major, major battle, and he's going to be fought by the Democrats, who are, I think, rightly saying, hey, this looks like crumbs for the little people, a lot of giveaways to the rich people with some conflicts of interest. But as well, he's going to have to fight Republicans who are going to say, wow, there's no way you can cut without offsets elsewhere, meaning that this will drive the deficit up through the roof. That's going to be a really tricky sell, I think, on that side. So, listen, as proposed, it's DOA in the sense it won't be passed as proposed. But so we're going to have to wait and see what really happens. And guess what? I didn't see there was a fairly muted reaction in the equity markets. Certainly this didn't seem like a thing that the markets were overly impressed with either.
I noticed that as well. And do you think that that's because people are losing faith that Trump is even going to be able to get anything done? We saw the failure of healthcare reform, and it's, I guess, assumed right now, and that's all it is an assumption that this tax reform is also going to be, as you said, DOA.
Yeah, listen, you know, if there's probably nothing more sticky than tax reform and changing the tax code. As I mentioned, there's literally a 10,000 tentacles in on that little part of the machinery. So we'll see what happens with this. It was an interesting first salvo. Listen, it wasn't a lot of detail. What are you going to do? But I think there's going to be just an enormous pushback to it, literally from both sides. As is, of course, you know, the Republicans would love to see some tax cuts come through, because then that always sounds good. But if you don't like deficits, you're going to really hate this tax proposal as is.
Well, that's, I think, one of the key points to this whole tax proposal, is that there's a lot of cuts to the actual income side of what would be brought in. But, again, no corresponding cuts to the spending side. Some of the headlines that I've read is that, you know, this is going to add, again, massive amounts of money to the debt. And that's not what America wanted for when they voted for him.
Well, exactly. And, you know, when you talked about that spending side of all of this, I've seen a few cuts proposed to some fairly minor parts of the budget, you know, HHS, the, you know, education, stuff like that. But it's minor. It's chump change. And then, of course, he also said, hey, how about another $58 billion for defense? So it's a little all over the map. This is starting to look a lot like we're going to spend more even. And we're also going to drop our revenue. That's not good business right there.
No, it isn't, actually. That's the worst business that you can have, I think. But again, some people argue that you don't want to run a country like a business, but you also don't want to run anything like a failing business. So I think maybe that's a tough point that Trump has. What about bringing back on shore this money that corporations have that is not within the U.S.? Trump ran a lot on the fact that he was going to bring this money back. It was going to be good for the U.S. economy. This, again, is still up in the air.
Well, it is, but let's look at what corporations have been doing with their money. So whether it's offshore or onshore is irrelevant, really. If once they get it back onshore, what will they do with it? Well, here's what they have been doing with it. They've been buying their shares back. That does nothing for nobody except the existing shareholders, right? It drives earnings per share up, but it doesn't really help out with property, plant, and equipment, R&D, CapEx investments like that that are the true engines of actual long-term growth. You can goose earnings per share short-term by retiring shares. And I'm not saying don't do it. Listen, if you can get money at 1%, retire shares yielding 2%, 2.5%, do it. But I don't think at this point there's anything in the investment data from the corporation side to say they're going to do anything really super grand with it except return it to shareholders in most cases.
That's a very good point, Chris. And unfortunately, even some of the recent data that we've seen, as optimistic as the business has got, and as much as they said they were going to start buying some more capital goods, that hasn't happened, and that optimism is starting to roll over. So I guess taking a step back from all this, Chris, looking at the overall U.S. economy, nothing has changed. Health reform is still DOA, and tax reform still seems to be stuck in the mud. So what do people have to look forward to in the U.S.?
Well, there's 4th of July. And
okay, yeah, sunny weather. Yeah, I got
sunny
it.
Sunny weather. Summer's coming. These are all good things. Listen, you know, the long-term economic growth is really driven by things that fundamentally neither the monetary nor the fiscal authorities, that's the Federal Reserve and Congress, and the Senate and all that, respectively. There's not a lot they can do about that. You can start to align incentives. So rather than just giving corporations more money back in a lower tax cut, another thing you might consider is incentivizing corporations we've done this before, and it seems to have worked reasonably well, incentivize them to invest in R&D and other things like that. So there's ways to apply incentives for and against. That's really all that I think the fiscal side can do. Congress can sort of punish you if you do this and reward you if you do that through tax code, but just giving people money back may or may not work, and it's less clear than that. But it is clear that it will drive up the deficit and the overall indebtedness position of the federal government.
Which continues to be the story, unfortunately, of the U.S. economy and, for that matter, really of the global economy. So a bit scary, and really nothing has changed. Chris, it's always great chatting with you. Thanks for spending time with us this weekend. Everybody, stick around. Going to be right back with some coverage on the gold sector.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-972-5856. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-972-5856. That's 1-800-972-5856. 5856 1-800-972-5856.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate, fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.